1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We do thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people, as your church. And Lord, we do ask for your blessing, for the filling and guidance of your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you, and Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and truth. May you be highly exalted and lifted up, and our lives drawn closer to you, to one another. And may we understand better, Lord, the empowering of your Holy Spirit that enables us to be your witnesses. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message this morning is, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." That's a good thought, isn't it? Comforted by the words of God. And that's what God wants to bring into the life of every believer. And really the comfort that Paul and the Holy Spirit here are talking about is a comfort that goes beyond the physical realm that only God can bring, and he wants to bring it into your life and mine. So this is a work of God in the life of the believer that he wants to do in the life of every child of God. So this morning we're going to consider three comforts that God has purchased for our possession. That's important. God wants us to have possessions of that he's promised to every believer. And that first comfort comes from how we walk and how we ought to walk and to please God. Then secondly, God's call to holiness. And then last, that ye may walk honestly. And so God has three truths here for us to consider as we walk with the Lord to experience in our lives that bring comfort, God's comfort, not the comfort of the world, not the peace of the world, not the joy of the world, but the joy and peace and comfort of God in the life of every believer. And so the key verse really is found in verse 4 as we consider how we ought to walk and to please the Lord. But look at verse 1 with me, if you will. It says this, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." And so he says, you've been instructed, and this ought to be the natural or the spiritual result, that we would walk in a way that would please the Lord. God says his work, his involvement in the life of every believer is to make you and I pleasing in his sight. Now, we have been given access. Anytime you need to go before the throne of God, the blood of the Lamb covers us and allows and gives us entrance. And God sees that blood. Amen? God, that, listen, that will be remembered throughout all eternity, the sacrifice that the Lamb of God made for your and my redemption will always be seen, always be noted, and we thank the Lord. And that is what grants you and me access to the very throne of God. Don't let the devil, the flesh, or the world deceive you or fool you or trick you into not approaching the throne of God because of something you have done. The blood of the Lamb gives you access at all times. If you have done something that has separated you or caused you to walk amiss from the Lord, that blood grants you access to ask for forgiveness and restoration. And God does that. He says, if you'll come to me, I will forgive you and I will restore you. When? Next year? When you see the Lord? No, at that very moment, you're forgiven, right? And I love what one fellow said. He said, I was so convicted about something I had done, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. And you know how we are, probably 5 minutes later, he said, I asked him to forgive me again over the same sin. And he said, I got this sense in my spirit that the Lord was saying, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Because God, when he says, I promise to forgive you, you can count on that. And he forgives us and casts our sin as far as the east is from the west. And they never come together, do they? You can keep walking east. You can circumvent the world. And when you end up at the same spot you started, guess which way you're still facing? You're still facing east if you headed east, right? And so your sins are as far as the east is from the west, which is an incalculable way of saying they are forever forgiven and forgotten. And we thank the Lord for that. So how is it that we ought to walk to please the Lord? Well, verse 2, he says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." So adhere to the words of God. Don't lean to your own understanding and say, well, I understand what God said, but that's where the problems begin. As soon as we say, but, we're interjecting a thought that God says, that's not what I've said. Listen to what the Word of God says, adhere to that, and trust me in that, and I will bring it to pass. Listen to this, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So the Lord is saying, this is God's will. Listen, let me ask you this question. Was it God's will for you to be saved? How much of that part did you have in the salvation of God? Well, technically, we had no part in the salvation. All we did was what? We just received it. God gave it, we received it. Listen to verse 3. In fact, he says this, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain. All we have to do to get that sanctification, and by the way, that is a work of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. God is the one that sanctifies us, and all we have to do is to receive that and look to the Lord to fulfill that sanctification, that setting you and me apart from the world and from the sin that is in this world. If we will look to the Lord for the strength, God will provide it. And by the way, the sanctification is a complete work of the Lord. We don't have to do anything for it other than just trust the Lord, believe Him, and walk in that truth and watch what He will do. Look at verse 4, how this takes place. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, your life, your body, in sanctification and honor. Who is the one that sanctifies the believer? It is God who sanctifies us. And he's saying this is that everyone, how many believers? Everyone, all believers. Some people say, well, you don't know my life. No, but God does. Amen. All I need to know is the Word of God. And if God grants a promise and he says it's for every one of his children, that means that it is for what? Every one of his children, right? There's no doubt about it. And so here's the question. Are you able to receive that truth for yourself? God's promise is that it's for everybody, but if we don't receive that for ourselves, we'll miss the blessing of God. So again, verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor. Then he says this in verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence. And that word concupiscence has to do with evil desires, fleshly desires. He says that ought not to be in the life of the believer. And if it's something that is in the life of the believer, we bring it before the Lord, and then we realize that he has promised to take those desires away, and then we walk in that truth. We say, you know, you may not feel it, but we walk in that truth, and God will remove it. He's promised to do so, and he is true to his word. So he says, don't walk like the Gentiles. Look at verse 5 again. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. That's what he's speaking of specifically. Those that do not know the Lord, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. And so here we find what the Lord is saying, how every believer ought to walk in a way that pleases the Lord. And again, remember, he is the one that fulfills that in your life and mine. So here it is, ready? He says, this is the way. He just told us in the first six verses how we are to walk. Now, we make the problem if we say this, I can't do that. If we say, I can't do that, who are we looking to? And not God. We're not looking to the Lord. So the moment we say, I can't do that, we started off on the wrong foot. Amen? But God can do all things. Is anything too great for our God? Not even us. Amen. God said, listen, so we have to receive that truth and walk in it. And I've got news for you. It's okay if you don't feel like it's going to work. The question is, do you trust the Lord to uphold you? So here's the whole thing. Peter had no inkling at all whatsoever when he said, Lord, if it's you on the water, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. Did Peter, before he touched the water, have any idea if he was going to float, if he was going to stand on? He had no idea, but he did have this. He trusted the Lord. And did he walk on the water? He walked for a certain amount. When did Peter begin to sink? That'll be the same time we begin to sink. When did Peter begin to sink? He took his eyes off of the Lord, and where did he put his eyes on? Himself, the waves, and everything but God, and he began to sink, and we will as well. And so we don't want to look to ourselves. We want to keep our eyes on the Lord. Number two, we have, so first of all, three truths that bring comfort that God has purchased for our position is how we ought to walk to please the Lord, and God brings that to pass in our lives. And then also we find God's call to holiness. This is God's call. He says, I want you to be holy. And you don't have to worry about that. God will bring that to pass. Verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Who said that? That's God. That's God's word, isn't it? So God is the one that's saying, I have called you, I have prepared for you to have a holy life. I will promise to carry you, as long as you look to me and believe me, put your trust in me, I will bring it to pass. And when you see it coming to pass, then the spiritual inclination that will be the natural thing for the Spirit to do is to sing praise unto God for his deliverance and power in our lives to bring the things that he's promised to pass in our lives. Look at verse 8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God who hath also given unto us what? Did you see that? His Holy Spirit. So in other words, listen, God is saying this. Listen, verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth, in other words, he's saying if a believer looks at that and says, well, I don't know. What is he doing? He's despising, well, let me see, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. God didn't ask it to make sense. He just asked us to trust him. He just asked us to believe him. God never asks us for what we think. God says, you either receive or reject. That's it. That's the bottom line. We either receive what he's saying or we're going to receive what we think. We're either going to receive what he said or we're going to receive how we feel. That's not faith, is it? We're going to either receive what he has promised or we're going to look to what the world is saying. Well, he told us at the very beginning that the world and him, they're not the same. The world and the Lord they're enemies. It's like light and darkness. They're never going to come together. When light moves in, darkness flees. So why would we ever go to the world? The world has all different kinds of crazy ideas. Here's a real good one. Ready? New thing the world's putting out there. Do you know how to get rid of carbohydrates in bread and all kinds of high carbohydrate and high sugary foods? Freeze it and the carbs go away. Isn't that brilliant? Yes, it changes the molecular composition if you freeze it. What? And there are people promoting that, more than just one person. Look it up, how to remove carbs from carbohydrate-rich foods, and you will find a barrage of people with their ingenious idea, freeze it and it goes away. Well, I do that on my birthday every day. The ice cream that I eat, I always tell everybody, no carbs. That's all in my mind. No carbs, right? That's not even really in my mind. I don't believe it for a minute. And we should not believe what the world has to say, specifically when it conflicts with the Word of God. All right, so here we find God's call to holiness. Look at verse 9. He says this. And by the way, look at verse 8 again. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. You know what he's saying? We are despising the Holy Spirit to lean to our own understanding. God says, listen, wouldn't you say that grieves the Holy Spirit? Does the Holy Spirit know a lot of things? Does the Holy Spirit really just know everything? But when we start looking back and we say, well, I know what the Holy Spirit promised, but we grieve the Holy Spirit. You know what we're saying? Holy Spirit, you don't know as much as I think. What? You don't know what I know. And guess what? He was part of the creation. Amen? And so we start playing games with the Lord and we grieve him and we can quench the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. That is the first thing. Is it saying this? Every believer ought to love every other believer because they're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Right? He didn't say, now every believer ought to love every other believer if they're kind to you. Did he? And yet if we're not careful, that's what we do. Well, I'm just not talking to them right now. I'll talk to them someday. No, listen, we're not loving at that moment. We have broken fellowship with that believer because we are thinking more, listen, of how we feel than what God has said. That's powerful, isn't it? Who are we going to follow? How I feel, that will get us in trouble every single time. Not most times. If we go by how we feel, especially when we neglect what God has said, we stifle, we stiff arm, we say, stop the blessings, God. That's what we're saying. Now, I know you'd never say, Lord, I don't want you. I'll never forget. What was the fellow that pastored First Baptist Church of Sullivan back in the 70s? Mac Chambers pastored back over there. And my father-in-law was telling me they'd go out door knocking and they had a way they could keep a door open and man, just the Lord really worked. And one time this fellow got really irate at Brother Mac Chambers. I'm tired of your religious. I got these tracks all the time in my door. He just gave Brother Mac Chambers what for. And he said, okay, are you telling me you don't ever want to be bothered with the truth? He said, yes. He said, okay, I'm going to pray to the Lord and I'm going to tell all my church members to never darken your footstep again. And he said, oh, no, wait a minute. You don't need to do that. See, in other words, he said, you're going to reject eternal life. You're going to say, this is it. I don't ever want to hear from God again. Now, today, unfortunately, I would tell you more people would say, yes, I don't want to be bothered with God. Amen. But back in the 70s, at least, they still had some kind of reverence for the Lord. This was back in the 70s, so it's been a little while ago. But listen, if we're not careful, that's understandable from the world. But would the child of God unknowingly say, God, I want you to stop your blessings in my life. I don't want to walk in your ways because I don't feel like this person is treating me right. Well, listen, remember when the Lord went to the cross, we were the ones that didn't treat the Lord right. It was because of our transgressions. It was because of our sins that he went to the cross. And so if the Lord could do that for us that were unlovable, God says you ought to do that for one another. And don't judge them either. Amen? I don't know if they're really saved, so I can probably get away with that. No, that's not what the Lord is saying. God is even saying to the lost that we ought to treat them with love and kindness and respect. So, verse 9, again he says, but as touching brotherly love, ye not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another, and indeed you do it toward most of the brethren. You do it toward all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, listen to this, that you increase more and more in what? In brotherly love. And that you increase more and more in what God has just commanded us that gives comfort to every believer. Notice this, he says, verse 11, and that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we command you. That's good. Don't be a busybody. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Now, that's not just talking about the physical things, but he's also talking about the blessings and the grace of God. Listen, we need more of God's grace in our lives every day that we might have better understanding of how to walk in the Lord's way. Now, notice this last thought here, and that is that we may walk honestly. Again, verse 12, he says that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. Isn't that a comfort? God says, I want to make sure you don't lack anything that you need to bring me honor and glory, and what you need really to bring peace and comfort into this life. And that is primarily a relationship with the Lord. Verse 13, but I would not have you, listen, to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. I don't want you to be like this. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Isn't that good news? There are those, and by the way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. There are people that are in the very presence of God that have gone on before us, that have faith in the Lord, who are in the very presence of God. Listen, because of God's great grace. Amen. Not anything we have done. We are just the recipients of the grace of God. And you know, here's a powerful truth. Everybody is on a different level. You are running your course. I don't know what that course is. I am running my course. You don't really know what my course is. There are things that God brings me through, and there are things that God brings you through that will either enhance our relationship with the Lord or will cause us to hinder and step back from God. And that is all determined by whether we look to the Word of God or whether we lean to our own understanding and we stop acknowledging God in all of our ways. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. So he says this, he says, I don't want you to be naive, I don't want you to be uninformed in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Is there coming a reunion day like never before? That has passed, even we don't even understand it. We just know that there's a reunion day coming that the world has no inkling about. Do you believe that this morning? And it's going to go beyond our understanding. Isn't that good? Amen. We're going to see things and experience, but the greatest will be the Lamb of God. Amen? Will be the Lord Himself when we see Him. All of our loved ones, but the greatest thing that will capture our hearts and minds will be the one who died for us. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So if we happen to be here, when the Lord comes for His church, who will be with Him? All those that have gone on before. We're going to be reunited in the air when the rapture takes place. And that what a day that will be. And we thank the Lord for that. Verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. They're the first ones on the agenda. That means they're going to be united with their bodies, and we're going to come and meet the Lord in the air. Then we which are alive, verse 17, and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Do you know that this word of God brings comfort to the believer, brings wisdom, brings understanding, and causes us to pick up the yoke of God that is easy? You know why the yoke of God is easy? Guess who's carrying it? God is. God says, I will do these things for you. Now listen, the natural man doesn't receive it. The believer, if they're leaning to their own understanding, they're leaning to the natural man, and they will not be able to receive this. God says, I've called my church to be a peculiar people. Is that the truth? He says, I've called my people to be a holy people. Is that the truth? And he says, I've got crowns laid up for you. I've got a course for you to run, and you can run it. Why? Because he will be the one to empower our lives. He will be the one that will bring it to pass. Do you know, listen, it's amazing. You will see all these patterns in history and even in the history of Israel. Do you remember what war it was that Israel took Jerusalem again? Huh? Do you remember that? Do you remember? Do you know that every time that Israel was out of its nation, when it came back, it built a temple? Do you remember that when they came into Jerusalem? Do you know it was 1967 when they took Jerusalem? Do you know it was 2017 when it was declared, when our president at that time declared that Jerusalem is its capital? How many years was that? 2017. That was the year of Jubilee. That was the year that ever. See, listen, is anything too great for God? God is going to bring things to pass. And you know what? Listen, there's going to be a temple because there's going to be temple worship again. Do you realize that in the year 70 AD, Titus, when he defiled the temple, that ended the sacrifice. There's not been any blood sacrifice. And that, now what they have is they have the Day of Atonement. They have the day with no atonement. But there's coming a day again when they're going to start that sacrifice again, and the Lord's going to come back. Do you know, listen, do you know that the book of Revelation is called the Apocalypse? That's a Greek word for revelation. And do you know that the whole thing about the book of Revelation, the world depicts it as being a horrible time of judgment, and it is. But do you know what the main thrust of the word revelation, the revealing, the unveiling, is? That the Israel would see who Jesus is. It's going to be the revealing of Jesus, that he's the Messiah to Israel. And then they're going to weep, and then they're going to mourn, but God's going to bring them in. God, listen, God planned that before the world was created. Would you dare say that everything is right on schedule with God? Amen. Would you dare say that God is in control of everything? Amen. Would you dare say that if God said he would do it, that he would do it? Amen. Does that mean including your life and mine? See, this is where we kind of hold back a little bit. This is where we kind of excuse ourselves and miss out on what God wants to do. Let me show you something in conclusion. Let me invite you back over to the book of 1 Corinthians just for a moment. And let me invite you to chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. I want you to see something that is very powerful and amazing, really, that will give you a truth to chew on, amen, to chew the cud on and to get everything out of it. Verse 9 says this, "But it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." Do you know what we think about that? Oh yeah, when we see Jesus, amen, praise God, when we see Jesus. But watch this, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come in the strength of man or the wisdom of man. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Do you know that should be true of the believer today? When people were seeking the Lord, they said, we would see Jesus. They didn't care about the disciples. They wanted to see Jesus. Do you know that is the most important thing that every believer should want to see in their own personal lives? Verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom," listen, "but in demonstration of" what? And is that word Spirit capitalized? It is clear, it is the Holy Spirit. "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." May that be our pursuit as well. That we don't want to see anything but Christ, and that we would see the work of the Spirit, but the demonstration of the Spirit, the wisdom of God, and the demonstration of the Spirit and power in our own lives. Has God promised to empower the church? Yes. Okay, let's try that again. Has God promised to empower the church? Yes. Do you believe that? Have you received that? And who's the church that God wants you to be concerned about? The one you look at in the mirror, right? Every day. Okay, so watch this. Verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That your faith, your trust in God, would not stand in your wisdom, that's the wisdom of men, but the power of God. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught." They're the ones that say, you know, freeze the bread and there's no carbohydrates. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." Listen. It's something that's even the hidden wisdom of God, which God ordained before the world unto whose glory? Our glory. Did you see that? Listen. Look at verse 7. Paul speaking by the power of the Holy Spirit. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Does God want to glorify himself in your life and mine as believers? And by the way, it's not by our strength. Now watch this. Verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But wait. The word but is a conjunction, right? In verse 10, it's joining two thoughts together. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. How important is the Holy Spirit? You'll never know what God wants you to know without the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, working, not just indwelt by it, working in your life and mine. But God hath revealed them. The question is, have we received them? They're revealed in the Word of God. And if we'll petition the Lord and say, Lord, I need your understanding, we'll understand them in a way that they can be received for us personally. But God hath revealed them, verse 10, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, verse 11, save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. He's talking to his church at the book of 1 Corinthians. He's saying, you know what? Without the Spirit of God, we will not, without the leadership of the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit guiding us, we'll miss and misunderstand the promises of God. They've been revealed, but you won't have them because they won't be understood for you and I. God brings the aha moment and we say, yes, Lord, I'll take it. You've promised it. I just didn't know to receive it. Verse 12, now we have received, listen to this, what we've received as a saved child of God, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know, listen, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, that we might know them. He didn't say you're going to automatically know it. The only thing you're going to know when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ is that your sins have been forgiven. The potential to know all of the things of God are there as we yield and lean to the Spirit revealing these things to us. We'll never know them without them. We'll never know what it means to be holy. We'll never know how to walk honestly. We'll never know how to walk in a way that is pleasing to the Lord unless he brings that to pass in every child of God's life. Even the Apostle Paul, even Peter. My goodness, did Peter have mistakes understanding what the Lord was trying to say to him? Absolutely. All the way till the end, he picked up a sword. Lord, you're not going to the cross. Remember, after the Lord already said to him, listen, get thee behind me, Satan. You savor us not the things that be of God, but of men. So the Lord's going to the cross. He asked them all to stay awake. They were not there. They were sleeping. And then when he was going to the cross, he chops off Malchus's ear. Personally, I think he was aiming for his head and missed. Lost, the Lord saw to that. And then he, you know, put the ear back on for him. We'll miss all these things. Peter missed them. And we're not any better. We'll miss it as well. Verse 12. And this is the last verse. In fact, look at verse 11. Let's tie these two together. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God, by the way, which is in the believer. It is in the believer. All we need to do is say, I need you. I need you, Lord, through your Holy Spirit to give me wisdom and understanding. Now watch this. Last verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. These are the things that God has given for our, he's purchased for our possession. So here's the question. Do we want it? Do we want that kind of wisdom in our lives? Here's the truth. God intended it. He purchased it for you and me as believers to walk in, to enjoy, to be awed by, to praise God over. And God will bring that to our lives if we'll just say, yes, Lord, in my life. You know what God is saying? You know what God really says concerning all of his promises? He's not saying shame on you. That's not what God is thinking. You know what God is thinking? Just as I read the scriptures, you know what he's encouraging us to do? As he did Peter and all the other disciples? As he did Thomas when he said, is this what you need? You know what he was saying when he told Thomas to reach into my side and to look at the nail prints at my hand? You know what he was saying to Thomas? Don't miss out on what I've purchased. Do you know what he's saying to you and me today? Don't miss out on the full salvation and the sanctification work of our triune God. You know what God says this morning? Come. If you're thirsty, if you want a taste for yourself, come and I will receive you unto myself and fulfill what I've already promised and paid for. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we do thank you for your truths and the promises that you give to each and every one of us that know you as Savior. Lord, if there's anyone here that does not have the assurance, Lord, we know by your word that it is a simple step of realizing our sin before you and also the salvation that you provided for by your Son, his death on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for all of our sins that's been given to us to receive. And by simply putting our trust in what he's done for us, pays for all of that. But then, Lord, for those of us who are your children, that we might truly experience your power and your grace in our lives in a life-changing way. Lord, it surely appears that your return is at hand, right around the corner. May we not say, oh, this is not the time that you're going to come back and get caught off guard. But may we not miss out on every promise and every blessing that you have purchased for us to possess. Bless your word this morning. Bless your people. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.